Hello and welcome to Bereaved Motherhood and All It Entails. I'm your host, Mackenzie, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about grief and anxiety and how they can go hand in hand. So a really common response to grief can be anxiety. Some people naturally are more anxious than other people. Some people are less anxious. Some people may be diagnosed with anxiety prior to their loss, where other people, anxiety might have been something that, you know, came and went, or maybe they had anxiety in certain areas or aspects of their life, but it wasn't really an overall issue for them. We all have different backgrounds and histories, but regardless, loss can create anxiety, even among people who have never had anxiety. And so something to first take into account is, what exactly is anxiety? And anxiety is a natural response of the mind to be fearful of a situation. So, you know, scary situations create anxiety. When something happens where maybe somebody has to get in front of a large group of people and give a speech, they can become anxious, right? Sweaty palms, a fast heart rate, all these physical symptoms of anxiety, because what they're about to do is nerve-wracking to them. Obviously, if we're in a dangerous situation, we can become very, very anxious because we see there's threat, there's danger, there's harm or potential harm to me or to someone I care about. And obviously that can create anxiety. But experiencing loss, experiencing the death of a loved one, automatically in the brain sets off fear. And it puts you on a heightened alert, and it heightens your physical sensations. So it's important to know that this is very common, and it's actually a pretty normal physiological response to great loss, to grief. And so it's important to remind ourselves that this is all normal, and it's a way that our body can handle the stress of the situation, because obviously the death of our child is very, very stressful, and it's fearful, it's scary. So it's a natural response, this anxiety is following loss. But a reason that we can develop a grief anxiety or an anxiety after death is because we aren't processing grief. So that can be another trigger or a reason that anxiety develops or even potentially worsens is for people that don't want to go through the grieving experience, and they just want to, you know, shove it in a closet, close the door, and never go in there and just say, I'm okay, I'm moving on, I'm good. When you don't go through the process of grieving, that's a natural, normal process. It's a process that the mind and body is designed to go through to help understand the loss and to feel those feelings. Like, that's very important. And so when we don't do that, it can create anxiety because we have all these unchecked feelings and all of this grief that we're not processing. We're shoving it away into a dark corner, hoping that it'll just, you know, dissipate and that we don't have to deal with it. And that naturally can create anxiety. So it's really important to go ahead and to go through that grieving process. And we talk about that again and again, how important it is to allow yourself to grieve, to give yourself the time and space to do that. And this is an area where we see the huge benefit of allowing ourselves the opportunity to properly grieve, because if not, it literally can create anxiety. And for some people, that anxiety can be, you know, very debilitating, where they can't really even go about life because they're so restrained by anxiety. And there's not really going to be a cure to that anxiety until they can go through that grief process. Yes, there's things your doctors can prescribe to you to help mask it, but if you're not actually going to go through the hard work of grieving, you're never going to make progress in your grief on this journey and kind of work through those anxieties. And so it's also important to be honest and to recognize your feelings of anxiety, of yes, I'm feeling anxious. I recognize this feeling. I know what it is. I know why, you know, certain things can really trigger our anxiety, can, you know, put us into a full-blown like panic attack because something is just so triggering and upsetting and hitting our grief that it just creates that fear, right? Because that's where anxiety is ultimately bred from, is fear. And so as we begin to recognize what worsens our anxiety or what throws us into these like fits of anxiety, we can better avoid it or even understand how to better process it and handle it, knowing, okay, these types of situations, they give me a lot of anxiety. So what are the tools I'm going to put in my tool belt so that I can better cope with it? And as you do that again and again and again, you know, you begin to learn and walk through this grieving process where you kind of overcome those anxieties. It doesn't mean that it's never going to be scary situations or situations that don't cause those fearful thoughts and emotions, but hopefully we can lessen those experiences. And when we do feel those anxiety and those episodes arising, you know, hopefully we learn to be better at like controlling it and managing it. And again, it's a long, long process. For some, it might come quicker. For others, this can take years and years and years. And there might just always be things that just create anxiety because of our loss and how intricate all of this is and our brains are. You know, our brains are very intricate. And even if we feel like maybe we've moved past something and we've, you know, gotten to a certain point in our grief, there's still a lot there in our head and our brain, all these memories, all these things that we carry with us. And certain words or situations can trigger something way far back, and all of a sudden, you know, we're having a panic attack when we were just fine. And so it's just important to recognize this and understand the why. Why is this happening? Because it can be scary and it can feel like you're kind of have lost control of yourself, especially if, you know, you're not used to anxiety and this is all new for you and you're having to learn how to, you know, relate to this and deal with this. And it's important to also understand how our brain works. You know, our cognitive aspect of our brain understands our loss, and there's fear because of that and because of what we've gone through. And so as we learn how our thoughts work and we understand kind of what triggers certain things in our brain and in our memory, it can help us better manage our anxiety. Some people and therapists really recommend, you know, meditation, whether you are, you know, religious and you just want to spend some time in prayer, you want to spend some time listening to music, you know, deep breath, breathing, just taking that moment to kind of calm yourself, ground yourself and be like, okay, I'm good. You know, take those few deep breaths, listen to those relaxing songs that just kind of help calm your soul, say some prayers, you know, do some reading, whatever it is that kind of is that meditating that you find to be helpful for yourself, you know, that can really help counter the feelings of anxiety. And then when you begin to feel those feelings of anxiety, you can practice deep breathing and you can, again, equip your tool belt with tools to help you get through the episode or suppress the anxiety so it doesn't take a strong control or grip over you. It's obviously this anxiety from grief is rooted in our loss and in the trauma that we've experienced with our child's passing. But a way to, again, therapists say to like help with this is to continue to think and work through your relationship with your child. So remembering, you know, your child and the relationship that you have with them, thinking about them, you know, living this out rather than trying to, you know, push it to the side, put it behind closed doors, you know, bar it away somewhere. It actually is more helpful when we just include this and integrate it into our lives and making it our new normal, that we just include our child's honor, their, you know, memory, our thoughts of them, and it just becomes a daily occurrence, just as if they were still alive and they would be a part of our daily life. You know, we still include their memory in our daily life, and that can also help lessen the anxiety because we just become accustomed to thinking of them, remembering their life, you know, thinking of our love and our care for them, what they would, you know, enjoy doing today, what about our day, you know, would be something that would have made them smile, and thus Mimi would have made us smile, or something we would have enjoyed doing. And all that can bring sadness and pain. It also can be really helpful because we're including them in our day-to-day life, and that helps us, it helps our brain process that loss and understand it, so that we don't as easily become, you know, triggered and thrown off, like, oh my goodness, I tried to not think about this. I've tried to put this way far back because it's so painful and it's so hurtful and it causes me such strong emotions. And then all of a sudden, when, you know, that lock gets broken, it just can spiral us into panic attacks and debilitating anxiety. So if we can kind of become accustomed to including our child in our day-to-day life, it can help lessen that anxiety over time because we haven't barred it away. You know, we embrace it day in and day out, and that can be really, really helpful for our minds in processing our loss. And then we also know that, of course, grieving is very lonely, or at least it can feel lonely, especially I think when you've lost a child, because it is a smaller club than, you know, people that lose adult parents or people that lose grandparents. You know, those are much, much larger clubs. And obviously, you know, death is supposed to hit the older before the younger. And so it's a very unnatural order of death and of passing. And so that can further feel isolating to us as bereaved parents. But it's important to find like-minded people and people you can depend on. And if you can find people that have gone through something similar that can relate to some degree or another, that can be really helpful because it helps you understand that you're not crazy, you know, and it gives you that commonality that you just don't have with a lot of people. And it's actually been shown that grief anxiety is worse in cultures that have really poor grief practices. And the United States, you know, ranks at the top of dealing with death poorly. You know, we don't have death rituals in this country. It's not a part of our culture. We try to pretend it doesn't happen. It's very much taboo, kind of done on the side. We don't draw a lot of attention and light to it. And the more unexpected the death, the younger the person, the more tragic, you know, the death, the more and more uncomfortable our society is with it. And you can, you know, read plenty of studies showing this. And that really harms grieving people because when, as a culture, we just pretend death doesn't happen, especially the death of children or babies, you know, nobody is open to that. People want to live in that fantasy that this doesn't exist, or it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to touch my family. And, you know, I'm just more comfortable kind of living in ignorant bliss. And I'm going to choose to live in ignorant bliss until I'm, you know, confronted in the face with it, where I can no longer live in ignorance. And so because that's kind of how our society goes about it, you know, we are alone in that, and it can be very isolating, and isolation and loneliness creates anxiety because that's fearful. We don't want to be alone. Like, our brains, our bodies, we weren't, you know, created or designed to be by ourselves. You know, we need community. That's very important to humans. And so that further isolates us, which can further prompt severe anxiety. And so finding that community, whether it's through social media, whether it's through like podcasts like this, whether it's through actually finding living, breathing people that you can talk with, that you can get coffee with. And then there's always going to be, hopefully, a few people, you know, one, two, maybe three people that are just truly empathetic people, people that truly step up to the occasion and want to be there in your grief and support you and love you and do everything they can. Like, they want to walk this path with you hand in hand, side by side, because they care so much. And, you know, those types of people are not normal. That is the rarity. It's definitely, you know, the minority, not the majority. And so when you find those few people, hold on to them tightly, because they truly are treasures. And even if they haven't walked your path, you know, they're willing to put themselves out there and be uncomfortable in your grief and support you. And they're going to try to do their best. And it doesn't mean they're perfect. But again, we obviously need to be gracious and recognize their efforts and really take advantage of that to help in our community and help us not feel so lonely. And again, then that can help us with dealing with anxiety caused by grief. And I think it's important to recognize, you know, protecting ourselves where there's certain situations that we know, hey, this is gonna cause a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. I can't do this. Like, I mentally, I physically, I'm not able to put myself in that type of situation. And so you just refrain. You don't go to the event. If you're at the event and it's drifting into a direction you can't handle, you know, you excuse yourself and you leave. And all those kinds of things are okay. And then slowly, you know, you just push yourself to do a little more, a little more, a little more, and you just take on a little bit more and you handle that, and then a little bit more and a little bit more, and you kind of build your way up to doing the things that you used to do. And there might be certain things that you never can do again, or that are going to have to look really different than the way they looked previously. And that's okay. You know, we are different people. We're new people. Our loss has changed us. We might, you know, look in the mirror and be like, who is this person? Or we look at old photos and it's like, wow, you know, she seems really happy. She seems really nice. I don't know her anymore. Like, I'm so different. And you just think about how you thought and your priorities back then. And then you look at today and you're like, wow, so changed. And that is so common. That's something we hear again and again and again, that loss does to you. And so I think it's important to recognize that just like we're changed people, our situations are going to be changed too. It's going to look different. We're going to go about things differently. And that's okay. And we have to be gentle on our minds, because anxiety is, it comes from our brains. It is a mental thing. And it's a mental thing that has a very physical, you know, reaction. And so understanding, hey, what's causing this? What's causing anxiety? Okay, fear. So what is happening that's causing me this great fear to produce anxiety, and working through that? And obviously, if you're to the point that it's utterly debilitating and you can't function, then of course, go talk to your doctor. You know, there are resources out there. There's medications out there to help, you know, you get through it until hopefully you're at a certain point where you can begin to wean off the medications and do some other type of options to help, you know, bring about some healing to the brain so that it can better process in a healthier way to hopefully lessen the anxiety. But anxiety is very common. It can be a symptom of like disordered grief when it doesn't get better or it worsens. Sorry, excuse me. And so obviously it's something to keep your eye on, but again, I wouldn't worry about it unless it's been like a year plus and you're just, you know, utterly really, really struggling with anxiety. Like, I think we're all going to have some anxiety because of our loss for the rest of our life, because losing your child is scary, and it's never not going to be scary, and it's never going to not evoke some fear and really strong emotions and memories that are just so utterly personal. And so, you know, there's obviously an element that's natural. And so, you know, you have to be the judge of that. I know that for my husband, you know, he did need some medication following the loss of our son to just get through day-to-day life and to be able to go to work and actually work and be productive. I chose not to go that route, but he did. He also needed it just to be able to sleep so that his anxiety would go down enough so he could sleep and so that he could work. And it was a huge help. And he was on that for about the first 3 months before he got off of it. And I know that he would have liked to have been on it for longer, but the doctor didn't want him to be on it for more than 3 months unless it was really, really severe. And he didn't think that his anxiety was severe enough to warrant it. But you know, that's obviously a conversation you get to have with your doctor, and to know that there are medications out there that can be helpful and you can get on a plan, because obviously for some of us, we have more demanding jobs than others, or jobs that we need more mental clarity than other jobs. And we obviously, you know, if we have to work, we have to work. Money is a necessity in this life. And so we obviously have to do what we have to do to be able to, you know, complete the responsibilities of day-to-day life. And anxiety can be very crippling in that. So finding help, finding your community of support, finding and clinging on to those really great friends or family members that is willing to really walk this road with you and have that empathy and sympathy and support that, you know, most people aren't going to have. And, you know, just being gracious to yourself. You got to give yourself a lot of grace when grieving. And, you know, the same goes to this and anxiety. And I know that, you know, we just got out of the holiday season, which can be a really anxious time. We've just gotten past New Year's, which again can be really anxious. And so hopefully these give you some tools as we start this new year, as we enter 2023, on how to help, you know, make 2023 a more successful year and kind of allow healing and forward progress to be made in your grief path and in your grief journey. So I hope you found this episode helpful. Thank you so much for being here, for being part of this community. If you haven't already, go ahead and rate us, give us a review. It just helps us out. Remember that we drop episodes every Friday, 3 a.m. Eastern time and 12 a.m. Pacific time. You can always email the podcast to give us a topic you'd like to hear discussed, or to just connect, or to share your story. We always love to share stories. Just email us at maverickjohnconis@gmail.com. The information will also be down below. But again, we can't thank you enough for spending your morning with us, and we hope that you have a blessed weekend. And remember that you are on our hearts, you're in my prayers and on my mind, and you know, I'm here for you, and I'm just so honored that we can share this space together. So thanks for being here and being part of this community, even though I know it's the club no one wants to join. It is full of just the most amazing people, and you inspire me and are just so loving and supportive. And so we just thank you for that, and we hope that this podcast can also show love to you and be a support to you as well.